Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father. Well, that's not going to work, is it? From God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As I stated, I have a lot of memories here at First Lutheran, a lot of them in this church, a lot of them over in the parsonage, and a lot of them in the backyard. And as I was preparing for today's message, one of the memories that came back to me, and I'll be honest, I don't remember what the occasion was, but a lot of family was around. And we were gathered out in the backyard of the parsonage, and croquet, as it always was for family gatherings, was set up in the yard, and all the family members were taking turns playing croquet. There were lawn chairs set up against the side of the garage because it was sunny and bright outside and warm, and there was a little bit of shade for people to sit. And then in between these chairs was an old-fashioned wooden hand-cranked ice cream maker. You guys remember those? And I remember people taking their turns cranking the ice cream maker. And as a little kid, it was like, oh, that looks like so much fun. Can we go and do that? Grandpa, can we turn that ice cream handle? Can we crank it? And so my grandpa said, oh, sure, Tim, you can do it. Here you go. Go and crank. And it didn't take long to realize it wasn't that much fun. And in fact, it was a lot of work. And again, it took a lot of effort. And soon it was like, do I have to keep doing this? But as I was cranking and just about ready to ask Grandpa if I could quit, Grandpa came over and he said, oh, stop for a second. It's time to salt the ice. And that's probably my first memory of salt. And I remember like, salt the ice? Why would you salt the ice? We're making ice cream. Why would you put salt on this ice? So my grandpa, in a loving manner, took the time, and he kindly tried to inform me and instruct me that this is why you salt the ice. And I can go on to what he probably said, but I don't remember any of it, and probably didn't understand any of it. The only thing I do remember from all his instruction was what he finished with. Without the salt, we won't have ice cream. Salt the ice, Grandpa, because I wanted ice cream. In our gospel reading, which Sarah just read for us today, we hear about salt. We hear about light. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. What an incredible declaration that is. You are salt. You are light. However, to better understand what Jesus is saying to us, we got to kind of take a step back. For those of you who were in church last week, you might remember the gospel reading. The gospel reading was from the first verses preceding this from Matthew. Commonly we know it as the Beatitudes. And for the sake of time, I'm not going to read the whole section. I'm just going to summarize, in my own words, those Beatitudes, and then break them down for you a little bit to give us a better understanding. Okay? There's 8 Beatitudes listed, and there, the first 4 are important for us to hear. Let's hear a quick summary. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Do you understand what those all have in common? They're talking to somebody that has nothing. They are poor. They mourn. There's a loss of something. They are meek. They hunger and thirst. They're without. Those 4 blessings are to people who come before God with nothing. They have nothing to offer God. They are spiritually bankrupt. And yet God says, you are blessed. Then Jesus goes on to say, blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are those who are persecuted. First, he describes that you come before me, you who are blessed, you come before me with nothing, and yet you with nothing, I give to you my riches. And now that you have been filled with my riches, now you can begin to share those riches with others. That's where the second eight come in. There you begin to be merciful. There you begin to be peacemakers, sharing the peace of the gospel with others. There you who are pure in heart begin to love others as Christ loves you. And guess what? As a result, the same thing will probably happen to you. You'll be persecuted. There in those beatitudes, in those blessings, Jesus then enables us, empowers us, to be what in our text Jesus declares us to be. He declares us, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. That's important. He doesn't say to you, you will be the salt. You will be the light. You can become that if you do this and do that, which is how we so often read them. We read them that if I do something, if I do certain things that are pleasing to God, then I will become salt. If I do certain things that are pleasing to God, then I'll become light. That's not what Jesus says. He says, no, you are salt. You are light. We who are nothing become something because Jesus declares it so. That's gospel. That's gospel promise to us. You are salt. You are light. Now, if you look at these on your own or you study them sometimes or maybe you've heard some other sermons, oftentimes we misinterpret this. And the first thing that we go to, and I've been guilty of it, is we go and say, well, okay, that means I need to figure out exactly how what does it mean to be salt? What do I need to do? What's it mean to be light? What do I need to do? And I think Jesus intentionally is very broad. I think he's intentionally broad by just using salt and just using light. Two elements that are crucial for life. Two elements that are used and used and they're applied in a variety of different ways. I think Jesus does not get stuck in the specifics because he knows that as soon as you say, well, be salt this way, I want you to season, I want you to preserve, I want you, then we start going, okay, that's all I have to do. And then once I've done it, I've done it. I think Jesus is broad instead of specific for the purpose of we have to know what's needed to know how to apply it. I think Jesus wants us to know that. To know how to apply salt, you got to know the situation which you're in. Am I cooking? Then I'm going to use it for seasoning. Am I making ice cream? Then I'm going to use it to put on the ice so that it lowers the freezing point and keeps it colder. We have to know each situation. In other words, we have to get involved. We have to be in the moment, in the midst of whatever it is that we need. I think Jesus does this because he's trying to keep us away from that thought that if I do this, then I'm salt. If I do this, then I'm light. Jesus says, no, you are salt. You are light. Now go and do. Be what you are. In other words, what does salt do? It seasons. What does light do? It lightens. Be that and apply it how it's needed. Get involved with the people around you. Jesus is very careful, I believe, to keep us from thinking that by doing these things, now I'm becoming salt, now I'm becoming light, now I'm becoming righteous. And I think he does that specifically. He points out just later in our verse, in our gospel reading, that what? He says, for I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, whose righteousness can exceed theirs? Nobody's but Jesus. Only Jesus can do that. We fail, all of us. That's why we receive His perfect righteousness as a gift credited to us through faith. We are already righteous in His eyes. Our relationship with Him is based solely on the work of Jesus, so that now we are free. Free to be what God has declared us to be, salt and light to those around us. How it's needed and how it needs to be applied. And God does it in a very simple way. He says, do it in your vocations. What's that mean? That means here, as a spouse, be salt and light to your spouse. As a mother, be salt and light to your children. As a grandmother, be salt and light to your children and your grandchildren. As a neighbor, be salt and light to your neighbor. As a worker, be salt and light to your coworker. Determine in all those different vocations what is needed. We have these ordinary vocations, but God calls us to do extraordinary things, to apply our good works that flow from what God has declared us to be. As salt, you season those around you. As light, you enlighten those around you. He calls us to do that in our vocations individually, but also corporately. Corporately. You, as a body of Christ here at First Lutheran, he says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Here, where He has placed you, here in Culver City, here in this community. A few years ago, my wife was very ill, and she was at Cedars-Sinai, and First Lutheran was gracious enough to let me spend 2 nights and 3 days in the parsonage before Pastor Matt moved in. What a blessing he is to this congregation. I was able to stay there so I wouldn't have to travel to and from Cedars-Sinai and Orange. And you know that traffic. It's horrific. And I stayed there. I spent all day in the hospital with my wife. And it would come evening. I'd come and I'd grab a bite to eat, pick some food up and come back. And having spent the whole day inside of a hospital, the last thing I wanted to do was go inside of a house. So I sat out on the front porch. And I sat out on the front porch, and the first thing I'll admit, the first thing I did was I kind of got sad. Because as a kid, I remember sitting out on the porch and looking out, and what did I look out at? Single dwelling homes across the street, most of which were members of this congregation. And now there were all these apartments. And I kind of got sad. And then as I sat there and ate my dinner, started noticing people walking by. Started noticing the incredible amount of people walking by. And so I started saying hi to them. And then I started thinking about that. What are they doing? They're walking by the church, not to the church. It's very common in our day. We had a couple of visitors who stepped in right before the service just to check out the church. That's a rarity. That's a rarity. We live in a day, in an age where people, many people, most people, for a variety of reasons, but for one reason, they're afraid to come in here. They're afraid because some of the ways the church has been painted, the Christian church has been painted in the media. But I'll be honest with you, I think Christians and the church, more often than not, are to blame. You see, because more often than not, we read texts like salt and light, and we go back to that, I have to do, and we go back to that self-righteousness. I'm a good person because I do these things. And therefore, that self-righteousness begins to reflect to other people. And people see Christians who think they're better than everybody else. Whoa, let's go back to those blessings. You are blessed. You who's blessed? Oh, yeah. Me, who has nothing to offer to God. Me, who is spiritually bankrupt. I'm blessed. We're no different. All humans are the same. We before God have nothing. All that we have is a gift from God. But people are afraid because they're afraid to come in here because they're afraid that they're not good enough. We haven't communicated the reality that neither are we. Everybody should be welcomed in these doors because no one is good enough. But those are the people God gives his blessings to. We need to communicate that to the community. Yesterday, I was reading the Los Angeles Times. There was an article in there. There was an article, not bad, huh? There was an article in there entitled, "To Be Lonely, No More." And it talked about the epidemic in our culture today. That people are more lonely today than they have been. That people find themselves struggling with loneliness. And the article goes on to talk about how you might be connected. Wow. Think about that. I was sad about the fact that there were no longer single dwelling homes. I wasn't looking at God's picture. God replaced those single dwelling homes with apartments. He has now situated First Lutheran in the midst of a community that is more populous now than it ever has been, in a community that is lonely, looking to get involved, looking for relationships. But they're not only lonely, they're broken. They're hurting. They're people who need what only Jesus can give. And Jesus has called you and said, "You are the salt. You are the light to this community here in Culver City." Jesus invites you to grasp by faith your identity, who he has declared you to be as a community, and to live not for yourselves, but for others, to live for the world, to the glory of God the Father. For Jesus has placed you here and said to you, "You are blessed. You are salt. You are light. Now season and enlighten this community to the glory of God the Father. Amen."